Last week, Rabbi Sharon Brous, founder and senior rabbi at IKAR, Jewish Community, was with us, offering encouraging and inspiring thoughts about the new year. And I took the opportunity to ask her for some words about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. With the national holiday honoring Dr. King coming up on Monday, we wanted to include those words on this week's show.
So there is an incredibly beautiful coincidence of the calendar that Martin Luther King Day always lands right at the time where in the Jewish calendar, as much as because we're on a lunar calendar, you always know what season certain stories will land in, but not precisely what week they are. But Dr. King, the celebration of Dr. King always lands right at the beginning of the book of Exodus, right as Jews all around the world are reading the book of Exodus. And it often lands, as it did last year, at Parshat Beshalach, which is the story of the Israelites finally reaching the edge of the sea and then crossing the sea toward freedom with the mandate to go forward and build a just society, a counter Egypt in the language of Michael Walzer, right? And to build a society that would be the antithesis of the world of cruelty and callousness and exploitation that they came from, and instead build something that's full of love. So when these two moments coincide, it's extraordinary. And one of my favorite sermons that Dr. King gave, which I think he gave first shortly after Brown v. Board of Ed, in 1954, although he repeated this idea many times in many places, was this sermon called The Death of Evil Upon the Seashore. I don't know if you remember this sermon particularly, but he writes that when the Israelites witnessed the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the shore, they knew that it meant, he said, that evil in the form of injustice and exploitation cannot survive. And he said that there is a Red Sea in history that ultimately comes to carry the forces of goodness to victory. And that same Red Sea closes to bring doom and destruction to the forces of evil. So what he did is that's so powerful is like takes the Red Sea as this metaphor for it's a kind of birthing moment in which something has to die for something else to be born. And that image from Dr. King became really the heart of my theology when I was a rabbinical student and first started to encounter it. And in so many ways, the fuel of my spiritual life, of my political commitments, Dr. King's writings for me became what helped me realize that my commitment to social justice and to human rights, which I had since I was a tiny child. I mean, the first time I was exposed to real poverty, I was 5 years old, and I saw like real poverty, and I was so sick over it. I mean, I remember I said to my parents, how can we let people live like that? How can we let that happen? And I developed this very strong sense of right and wrong and just and unjust. And I never thought to connect it to my Jewish commitments and to my faith commitments. And then I read Dr. King and I realized, oh, like he's rooting his faith in narratives that also come from my faith tradition. And this is a faith commitment. It's because we know and understand that the evil and the exploitation of the enslavement in Egypt to my ancestors, that shouldn't be in the world, that God stands on the side of the oppressed, that human beings are called to live with dignity and with justice and with love, and that we collectively have to build something better. And that's not just, you know, being a good liberal in America for me. That's about my faith. My tradition is thousands of years old and calls me into that battle for good. And so it's Dr. King's writings were very much at the heart of my own transformation. Yeah. When I realized this isn't just a political commitment, this is a theological commitment and a spiritual commitment. And then the more I read and the more I learned, the more I understood, like the more Dr. King's faith ended up fueling my own faith journey and challenge. So it's, this day,
I have to say, this is so wild that I've never heard that connection made, that the day we commemorate MLK is the beginning, is marked by the Exodus. I mean, you know, that moment in the Exodus story. That is remarkable stuff. I think that is, and it's wonderful. It does. It shows this incredible confluence. And, you know, one of the books that Julian Zelizer, who's going to be our other guest, he wrote a book on Dr. Abraham Joshua Heschel. And you know, and that's another example of people really not having the same experience, but standing up for one another in that moment. And it's just, you know, this is so amazing. So, well, thank you so much for that. I mean, that's a blessing. We are going to take that with us.
You know, I want to say even more so because Abraham Joshua Heschel's yard site, the anniversary of his death also occurs right at this moment of MLK Day and of the beginning of the Book of Exodus. And so there's this incredible confluence. And, you know, you'll talk to Julian about this. Part of Heschel's transformation as an American Jewish leader, you know, he came from Europe and he fled the Nazis. Almost his entire family was destroyed and he took refuge in the United States. But he always felt like he was out of place here because could you imagine? I mean, he was a remnant of his entire family and community decimated. And so he comes to this place and he's like, where am I in America? What's going on here? And then he hears Dr. King preaching the Black church theology, the theology of the Exodus narrative. And he realizes, I also have a home here. That's my story, he says. And it's our collective story. And so this Jew, the descendant of a long line of Hasidic rabbis from Eastern Europe, who are decimated, but he's the remnant that survives, is able to connect with Dr. King and this, you know, this mission to transform America, you know, and the association of Black Americans with Israelites, you know, this formerly enslaved people who now have the work of building a new kind of society, a democracy, let us say, you know, a society that really sees and recognizes and honors the dignity of every person. There's an incredibly profound connection here. And that leads Dr. King to go down to march from Selma to Montgomery, you know, linked in arms with, you know, with Dr. King and with Ralph Abernathy and with the heroes of that movement. And when he flies down there, when he gets on the plane from New York City, where he's teaching at JTS, the Jewish Theological Seminary, the place where I was trained. And he goes down to the South and he lands in the airport. And he's greeted by a group of local rabbis who say to him, go back to New York. We don't want you to stir up trouble here. Do you understand how anti-Semitism functions? We're barely holding on here. We don't want the Jews to be associated with this movement of rabble rousers. And Dr. King and Abraham Joshua Heschel says, this is exactly where the Jews need to stand. And goes and marches and links arms and essentially sets forward a paradigm of like, this is who we are in the world. This is our prophetic tradition. This is what Torah demands of us. And this is where we need to situate ourselves right in the heart of the suffering and in the heart of the movement that's going to transform suffering into exaltation, into celebration.
That's Rabbi Sharon Brous, founder and senior rabbi at Ikar Jewish Community in Los Angeles, California.